Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host, and this is the Engagement Hour. I've got Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping me on time and target as always. And the purpose of the Engagement Hour is to try to encourage you to get involved through stories and examples of folks who take part in our community. We're a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. And with that does come some rights and responsibilities. For some, that includes service to our country and community. This last week has been a rough one for me, both on a personal and a professional front. We've lost a couple members of our community who truly demonstrate those values of supporting country and community. First was Wes Kramer. He's the president of Raytheon Missile and Defense, and he was somebody I knew for a long time. I first met him back at Langley Air Force Base when we both were in our final tours in the active duty Air Force. But at the time, I knew him kind of on a professional passing front. It wasn't until I came out to Southern Arizona and joined both the Guard and then eventually SALC. And when he came back as the president, I walked into his office and we looked at each other and we knew each other. Took us a while. We did the usual fighter pilot thing. We walked through all the stories about our deployments to the Middle East, our trips to Nellis Air Force Base for the big flag exercises. We went all over the place, but we finally hit it on. It was that last point where we both were making the decision to change our careers. And he was doing it in the resources directorate, and I was working in training directorate. And as soon as we made that connection, we knew who it was. And we really started what I'd call our journey to really get to know each other even better. Through SALC, I learned a lot about him, obviously working with him at Raytheon, but it was really through the moments that myself and my wife had sitting next to him and his wife or his sister, because our basketball tickets at the U of A were side by side. I always enjoyed our conversations. Katie always made sure I was sitting next to Wes because she knew we were going to be talking, and he's going to be greatly missed both in the community, and obviously there's going to be many folks at Raytheon who are going to have fond memories of him and miss him as well. And then last week, the passing of Mayor Ed Honey. That one really hit home. There's so many things I could say about Ed, and so today we're going to cover the parts of the interview that I did with him on the 23rd of July. It just seems like it was last week that we did that interview, and I've listened to it a couple of times. The thing that I will always really be grateful for is I picked him up that day, had an hour of time by myself with him in the car, driving to the studio. We did our usual laugh, argue on the way down, got on the studio, and we just turned it on. And what you're going to hear is segments that are going to really tell you about who Ed Honey is, and I want you to hear it in his voice. So we're going to roll the first segment at this time. My guest today, Mayor Ed Honey from the town of Marana, has more than done his share of service as an elected official. Mayor Honey's a third generation of a five-generation Marana family, and he has served on the council three different occasions. His total service to the city of Marana includes 37 years of elected service. He worked for the U.S. Postal Service as a contractor in Marana for 29 years before he retired in 2007, and he's on 21 years as the mayor. So Mayor Honey, great to have you on the air today. There's so much we can talk about.
Well, thank you for having me, Ted. I'm really excited to talk to you about a lot of things going on in our community and the region as well.
And we're going to get to that, because the purpose of this show is through these kind of conversations to get people an understanding of what folks who they see involved in their community have done in the past, and kind of to tell their stories. And the piece that I left out about your story in that initial introduction, and by the way, his 21 years is probably going to become 25, because he is running for re-election in Marana. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
I have a tough opponent.
I think you'd probably classify you have the best kind of opponent you could have, aka he's running unopposed. But we'll get to the conversation about the elections in Marana later. What a lot of people don't know about you, and you and I have spent a lot of time out at the VFW. I won't say a lot. We've spent enough time out there going out and getting a hot dog or a burger and maybe a couple cold beverages. But you are a member at that VFW. You served your country back in Vietnam as a CB, if I've got this correct.
Yes.
In the Navy. Now, granted, I understand that probably the only reason you hang out with me is you like to have senior officers drive you as a former Navy enlisted member to the VFW.
Well, but my friend, who's a retired bird colonel, drives me to the VFW, and I told him that I needed a major general to drive me once in a while, and you, Ted, have taken me a couple times.
Absolutely. I enjoy it out there. I think Mayor Honey learned that I've got a lot of friends from the Guard who attend there, and there's a lot of other folks there, so it is a great place. But I want to go back and cover your time as a member of the Navy during the Vietnam years, and I'd like you to kind of talk about how you made the decision to join and what your service was like in Vietnam.
I'm going to tell you, I started at the University of Arizona in 1965, and they had ROTC for both Air Force and Army. And I really didn't like it. I mean, I was a kid that had hair down to my shoulders, and I had to get a good haircut. And, you know, it was kind of that time of in our country. So a friend said, hey, why don't we join the Navy Reserve? So we went down on 22nd, the existing building still there. Joined the Navy Reserve and started doing their thing. So it was kind of an accident. And when they were talking about what did I want to do? Did I want to be a fireman or an engineer or whatever? And the guy says, you grew up on a farm, right? Yes, sir. To drive equipment? Yes, since I was about 10 years old. I've been driving tractors and trucks because you're not on the road and you're helping the family. He says, you need to go into the Seabees. I'm like, what? Had no clue.
Can you explain what a CB is for those who
CB
right
is
now
like
are
the
saying
Corps of Engineers in the Army? It's equipment operators, builders, electricians, plumbers, and that type of stuff. I was a heavy equipment operator. And I said, okay. So they sent me to Port Hueneman, California, just outside of Oxnard, Ventura area. And I went to CB school and became a heavy equipment operator. And they sent me to Coronado Island, outside of San Diego there, one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth.
The Navy always has the best bases, and those bases they've got on Coronado are gorgeous.
But I was an enlisted man, and I blame this on you, General Maxwell, and I'll tell you the story about that a little later, folks, but every time an admiral or a general came through town and wanted to stay at the Hotel Coronado,
I remember this story.
We would be out there on the tarmac for hours in dress uniforms, spit and polish show the admiral or the general what was happening. And I'm like, I don't like this. I said, I would rather be in Vietnam than here. Amazingly, 3 weeks later, I got orders to go to Vietnam.
Yeah, I would say that at that time, you make that statement, they're going to accommodate you.
And they sent me, I have to tell you, I flew into Saigon. We stayed in a hotel in downtown Saigon.
What was the year?
68.
Okay, so still pretty fresh.
Right, kind of Tet Offensive time.
Okay.
68, 69. And we stayed in a hotel in downtown Saigon. The toilets weren't working. Water was on the floor. Other things were on the floor as well. And I'm a 20-year-old kid from Iran. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I tell them I wanted to do? Yeah, to make a long story short, I got out of there. I went up the coast in a small ship to Qua Viet, which is the Qua Viet River that runs through I Corps. And I ended up going to Dong Ha, which is about 10 miles from the DMZ. And I worked there as a heavy equipment operator. We built roads, we built airfields, we built bridges, we did all kinds of stuff. And it was kind of like there were a lot of Marines there on our base and a lot of Army personnel. But somebody built their houses, or somebody provided them water, or somebody graded their roads, or whatever, and that's what we did. And about halfway through my tour, we went to Quang Tri City, which is a little further north, and I spent about 6 months there. I said I went over there a 20-year-old kid and came back a 21-year-old man. It makes you grow up in a hurry when you're in that kind of situation.
And Mayor Ed, I'm sorry if you don't mind me calling you Mayor Ed, and I'll call you Mayor Honey when we get on issues that will be a little bit more argumentative, but I just want to say thank you for that service. I know you probably think back fondly of it, although it was probably not quite so fond in your mind while you were there. But the fact that back in the late 60s, you were willing to go says a lot about who you are, and it says a lot about who you became, and it maybe will lead into your story of why you decided to get into further public service, but we'll save that for after the break. So I just want to say thank you for what you've done in serving in our country.
Well, thank you, and I would do it again.
That was the voice of Ed Honey, the man who served his country. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice. We are replaying segments from a 23rd July interview with Ed Honey, where we found out that he wanted to hear Tracy Chapman. So you're going to be hearing a lot of that today. This segment may run a little tight. We may cut it off shortly and come back to it after the break. But now we're going to ask Ed what happened after he served his country. Mayor, appreciate you sharing your story about your service in Vietnam. And after you completed that tour, you came back home.
I came back home and went to the University of Arizona and was going to get my degree. Fortunately or unfortunately, I met a long-legged, long-haired, brunette young woman. And about 6 months later, we were married. And I said, I've got to get a job. So I actually left the U of A and went to work for TEP as a heavy equipment operator and worked there for about 8 years, actually.
I learned something new every day, and that's a new nugget.
You know, I thought... You know, we got married, and I said we got married on March 6th, and on March 8th, our son was born the next year. You know, but I thought, you know, I've got a young wife, and I'm getting ready to have it. You know, I got to get a job. So I went to work for TEP and worked there several years and really enjoyed it. So that's kind of how that education went. I did go back later and graduate from Pima and do a few things.
Lifetime learning is a great thing, right. And some of it's formal and some of it's not formal. So how did you make your decision then to get involved in public service? And what would you say your first foray?
Well, I was very involved in FFA and 4-H as a youngster. And I had a lot of pigeons, racing pigeons. You know, my dad had started after World War II. They used the pigeons in World War II for messengers.
Absolutely.
And stuff. And I got really involved in that and show pigeons. And a gentleman named Dr. Olson from the U of A Outreach asked me if I would help with that. Well, for about the next 15 years, I was the volunteer in that program. Did the judging at the fair, went and talked to youth groups and stuff like that. Actually won an award as for service to the 4-H in the community. And the thing, I love the birds and everything, but the thing I loved is young men and young women were eager to learn about them and compete. And I just loved that and being involved with them. So that was kind of my first community service.
And we talk about community service on this show a lot. And, you know, I've laid out some of the other things, you know, formal service positions, elected officials. But it's also working with these nonprofits to help your community grow and get better. And in your case, working with children at that time, you were really trying to help create better citizens in our country.
I am. In fact, right now I'm working actively with the Marana Food Bank, regional food bank. Pulled out of Marana, and we immediately moved in. Now, this is not the town of Marana. It's a 501c3, but we have put money into it. The county has put money into it. And I said, I work with millionaires and a few billionaires in my position. But, you know, there are people in our community that need a little help. And I, as I've served longer, have said, I want to get involved with that as well. I'll work with the billionaire on a development, but then I'm going to ask him to donate money to the food bank to help people that are in more need in our community. So I'm getting actively involved in that as well.
Well, that's great to hear. The food bank is definitely something that supports those in need, and it's a... It really is a direct give, and you know what it's going to. So when people come in, you know they need the support to eat, feed their families,
right.
Feed themselves. So appreciate you doing that. So when did you make the decision? So you'd served in the military, you were getting involved in the community. When did you make the decision that maybe you were interested in running for public office as
an elected official? Happened? I'll give you a little background. My grandparents on both sides were cotton farmers, and water was really important. And at about 1974 or 75, the city started buying up farms in Marana and the Abra Valley for the water rights. And we were really upset about that. So in 1976, we decided to try to incorporate. That was Bud Walker, Katie Dusenberry, some of that group at the time. And I was a pretty young guy, but I drove my mother around to get signatures and stuff for us to incorporate. We did in 1977. And a lot of it was to protect water rights. Cortero Marana Irrigation District helped us and other people. But they appointed a board. My dad was on the board, Don Frew, who the apartments are named after. A lot of people were on the board, but one of the people on the board decided he wanted to be our town magistrate, so he didn't run. So I ran for office about 3 or 4 months later after we were incorporated and got elected to the very first town council in the town of Marana at 29 years old. Sometimes my mouth overloaded my brain in those early days. And they were 2-year terms. So I served 77 to 79, and away I went. And then I got elected again in 81 to 83, and then away I went. Well, about that time, I got divorced, and my two children lived with me. So I had a 10-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son, and that was my main thing that I needed to concentrate on. And a friend of mine, Betty Horgan, in 1991, 8 years later, came to me and said, Ed, you need to run for the town council. And I said, no, I got these young kids. I got to concentrate on them. I don't have time to do that stuff. And she said, I'll do the paperwork. All you got to do is sign it. To make a long story short, I ran in 1991, and I'm still here. But so you can blame it on her people if you have a problem.
There might be some people out there that will do that, but yeah, I'm not one of them. That's really kind of amazing. I mean, think 91 to 24 now.
Right.
I mean, that's a long set time on service, and that gets, you add it up to those two-year terms, and now you hit the 37. Mm. So you've been around Marana a lot. You've seen it grow.
Right.
So over your years of service on the council, what do you think have been some of the significant decisions that the council and the mayor have made to move, to create Marana now, which is arguably one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing municipalities in the region?
Well, in the early days, I was kind of anti-growth. You know, I grew up on a cotton farm. In fact, Honey Heights, which was the original first neighborhood in Marana, my dad took his cotton farm and subdivided it and built it into a neighborhood, and kind of got involved in that kind of stuff. Eventually, I came to the conclusion Marana is going to grow. We're north of Tucson. We're on I-10. We're on the railroad heading to Phoenix. We're going to grow. So why not do it the right way? So my attitude kind of changed, and I said, yes, we are going to grow, but our neighborhoods are going to have big parks. We're going to have wide streets. We're going to have excellent police officers, and we formed a contract with Northwest Fire to be our, instead of us being the fire district. And they say, well, what's Marana's fire district? Northwest Fire. And we have a great relationship with them. And the community started growing, and it started growing, and it started growing. And that's been really interesting. I mean, I love people. I love to talk to people. I go to talk to kindergartners, and I go to senior centers and talk to people. And, I want people to feel safe here and be happy here and be able to recreate here. I spoke at an event yesterday at the Ritz for the incoming teachers for Marana School District, 85 new teachers. And you were talking about firefighters and police officers and military personnel, which I 100% support. You know, some of the most important people in our community are the people teaching our children and grandchildren.
Absolutely. And for folks who listen to this segment, they know I talk about the teachers and the value of serving your community as an educator. It is easily one
and
of the
I'm
most important things we can do.
And I'm looking at these teachers that, you know, I could be their grandfather, actually, but, you know, but I'm looking at these people and saying, you know, our children, when they're growing up, from the time they're about five and going to kindergarten, will spend more time with them than they will with their parents or grandparents during the day. And learning to read, to write, learning arithmetic, learning geography, learning history. I think school teachers are some of the most awesome people in the world. And you know what, Ted? They're not getting rich either.
And that brings up a great point. I mean, there's a balance. You are a strong Republican. We've talked about that before. That's where you believe. But you also got the passion and recognize that some folks aren't probably receiving the pay that they deserve, and teachers are amongst those. Firefighters, police officers, those are others. We're getting better on some of the aspects.
My daughter was a teacher with a master's degree, making less than $40,000 a year. That's wrong. I'm sorry. You know, if you have...
I fully agree with you, Mayor. There's no doubt about that. That's the voice of Mayor Ed Honey. We've talked a lot about what got him involved, and his family was part of the driving factor. They taught him about service. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I've got Matt Neely making sure that all the segments get spliced together and get worked out. We ran right up against the edge on that one, but as a true professional, he worked it out. We didn't miss any of Mayor Ed's comments. So he will always be Mayor Ed to me. It's really interesting listening to his voice and hearing it there and knowing his passion, and you can hear it come through. You can hear his care, how much he cares, and what he thinks of everybody.
And this is just from July this year. I think it was July 23rd was the date. So
It was, and I know at the very end, and you won't hear the very end, close off with him on this interview, but I said, yeah, I can't wait to have you back, and now I'm glad we've got this kind of in memorandum, and I'll be able to pull this interview out every once in a while and listen, because every time I do so far, it's made me smile. So this next segment, what you're going to hear is us talk, we'll venture into some of a project that was very near and dear to him, brought his community and his service together. So this is the July 23rd interview with Mayor Ed Honey. Mayor, one of the lead-ins I normally do on the second hour, I talk about we're a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality. During the break, one of the things we were talking about that is something we are both passionate about, and that's the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery at Marana.
Right.
And I know you obviously were the mayor when that was going through the process to get in place, and it was a long, hard process. For those who are unaware, there's a veterans cemetery in Sierra Vista, and it's required by law to have so much distance between...
They have to be 75 miles apart.
Absolutely. And where did that 75 miles from Sierra Vista land?
North Marana.
Absolutely. Can you kind of give your insight and story to the background, why it was important to you?
When we started working on that, the guy I want to give 99.8% of the credit is...
And that might be a little low.
You know, is a gentleman named Paul Marsh, who is 93 or 4 years old, was at the last event we were at. Love that guy. He came to me, and he Paul was a former supervisor, Pima County supervisor for a term, and he says, Ed, we need to build a veteran cemetery out here. And I'm like, he said, between basically kind of the town hall and Pinal County line is kind of that gap, that 75 from the one in Sierra Vista or the one in Black Canyon City. And he said, it'll cost $7 or $8 million, and we need about 40 or 50 acres of land. And I like Paul a lot, but I'm like, Paul, you're a good guy, and I'm a veteran, and so are you, but, you know, I think you're crazy. To make a long story short, that good man worked for years after that initial conversation.
Absolutely. He would not take no for an answer.
He would not. He went and talked to Herb and John Kai. Herb is a member of our town council, and I know both the Kai's brothers really well. And he said, hey, about this such and such area off of Luckett Road in North Marana. There's a piece of land there that if we had it, we might could get the Veterans Cemetery built. To make a long story short, the Kai Foundation gave that land to the Veterans Administration. The way that thing worked, then once they got the land, the feds brought in $8 million and built the facility. The state spends about $200,000 a year. The personnel that are there, it's actually a state facility, but it's Marana Veterans Cemetery. The state pays the personnel, the couple of people there, to maintain the grounds and for the memorial services and everything, and started running that operation. You know, I'll call you General Maxwell on this because you and I have both spoke at events at that Veterans Cemetery. It touches my heart to go out there. There are thousands of veterans buried there. And it's just, I get Paul Marsh, maybe 99.9 instead of 99.8, the credit. But the Kais were part of it. Did I help a little bit? Yes. Did others help a little bit? Yes. BFW 5990 that we belong to helped. But to make a long story short, we have a beautiful veteran cemetery that's an absolute asset to our entire region.
And what I would tell you is it's not only a beautiful cemetery to visit on Memorial Day, on the 4th of July, on Veterans Day. It's beautiful in its own right. You can see it off the freeway. It's got room to expand, but the funny part, it's kind of sad, but it's also a great fact, is it's filling up. There are so many veterans in Southern Arizona and families who live in this area, some who were waiting to actually intern or bury the remains of their military member who served until this cemetery was available and opened up. They knew it was coming. They knew they had an advocate in Paul Marsh to get it done. And so the memorials, you go out there and you walk, you can just see veterans from many, many wars, all the way back to World War II, and some. It's a place where families can go to visit their lost loved ones and remember what they served.
Well, you're recognizing people. Most veterans are not killed in the wars.
Absolutely.
But they have broken legs. They've been shot. They've been injured. If you don't think PTSD is real, it is. A lot of them have been scarred. They've been under such horrible circumstances serving our country and our people that it is such a place of honor. I said, when I'm out there, I almost feel a reverence for the grounds and the people that are there. I know everybody in turn there served our country.
And that's a great way to talk about it, Mayor, because it is a place that you can go and you can give thought. You know, I will stand up and say my opinion is that we are absolutely the best country to live in because of the freedoms we've got, because of the way we're allowed to argue and the way we're allowed to fight. And it takes everybody who jumps in and serves their community, but it also takes those folks like yourself who are willing to stand up and serve, especially in times where they knew they were going.
Right.
They knew they were going to face some hardship and some potential danger. And it is a place that people can go and just think.
Well, and if I could touch on that just a little bit personally, my cousin Sammy White grew up here in Tucson, was my age, went to Vietnam, a healthy young man, came back in a black plastic bag. My friend Bill Frank, who I served with in the Seabees, was killed in Da Nang. And a couple of kids that I went to school with in Marana were killed over in Vietnam. Like I said, I admitted to you when I went to the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C., I was crying like a little baby. Those are people I love and care about on that wall. And it's so personal. And that kind of ties into the Veterans Cemetery. A whole bunch of people, four young men that I know, all probably 20 years or older, younger, are inscribed on that wall. People paid a price for us to have what we have today.
And it also serves another purpose that an organization, Missing in America Project, that I'd just like to recognize. Every year, they find the families, and sometimes not the families, but they're able to identify folks who have kind of dropped off. They may be homeless, they may be in the streets, they may be living apart from people, and they give them a proper burial, because when they find these individuals, they're able to do the research and find out that they had served.
Right.
And if it wasn't for that cemetery, that project may not be as big as it is here in Southern Arizona.
And that's something I find a little bit shameful in our country, is men and women, a lot now, too, because of Iraq and Afghanistan and different places like that. If you have a person that put their life in danger to serve us, living under a bridge or in a park, there's something wrong. I mean, there really is something wrong. And a lot of those people have mental or emotional problems because of the situations they were put in. And I think we're getting better. We're starting to do more and more and more things for veterans and veterans that are in need. But those people paid a big price to help serve us.
Absolutely. And that is why I think we both were so passionate. I know we were both at the groundbreaking and at the ribbon cutting. And like you said, we've supported and continue to attend many of the events out of the cemetery. So I just I didn't think I'd be thanking you this many times in one radio show, but I do want to thank you for all you've done to that. That's the voice of Ed Honey. That's my interview with him on July 23rd. What I love, Matt, about listening to this one is you can just hear the compassion.
Yep.
And anytime he starts talking about somebody in his community, whether it's a veteran, whether it's somebody who's down on their luck or in need of help or support, that passion comes out. It's never about Ed Honey. It's about the other person in the room.
Right. I mean, and just as he finished up there talking about people, you know, talking about how it's wrong. Anybody that served the country, living under a bridge or, you know, whatever, you just heard him. So he knew to stand up. He knew what to stand up for. And I think the Veterans Cemetery in Marana just meant so very much to him.
It did.
As it does to so many that needed something a little closer than Sierra Vista.
And you heard it in that interview. Paul Marsh, Herb Kai, and Mayor Ed Honey made that cemetery happen.
Yeah.
You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back after the break.
I love that song.
I
keep playing it, Matt.
We got so involved in the conversation during the last segment. As soon as we stopped talking, we took our headphones off and immediately continued talking. I'm going, Mayor, you're missing Tracy Chapman. And he said, what? And he threw the headphones on. It was too late. And so so I'm glad to see Matt came back with a little more Tracy Chapman for the mayor. He enjoys that one. We've spent a lot of time talking about your passions, your service, what got you involved, some of the other important things to you. But one of the things is you are Marana. You're a fifth generation, you know, in a family that's had five generations of men in Marana. You're a third generation member of the town of Marana, and you've been serving it for 37 years. I'm going to bring up the first topic, but then I want you to take it to any other topics that you think are important for Marana. The first one being, though, water. It's interesting to me that you got into it because of water concerns of water rights, losing the water in Marana, and you acknowledge being kind of anti-growth. But
right.
Now you're the mayor of one of the towns that has unlimited potential for growth and is booming. Now, when I took you up in my plane, we saw how much other open space and land there was. So you're kind of balancing that. So how is Marana dealing with water and still supporting growth?
I'll give you a little of my background on water. The very first neighborhood built in Marana was the Honey Heights neighborhood, not the first people. The owner of that water company was my parents, Honey Water Company. I grew up at a water company. I dug ditches for lines. I helped my dad work on wells. I installed meters. I read meters. I did billing. I worked with the Corporation Commission. I grew up in the water business. And the very first company that the town bought, and I wasn't on the council at the time, folks, was Honey Water Company. Now it's a huge multi-million-dollar operation, but water is so important in our region, and I'm going to give myself a little plug. If you go to a local Marana page, I did a podcast on water, last about 45 minutes, and it's pretty in-depth detail. Or if you go to my page, edformarana.com, and that's F-O-R, the very first podcast on there is my water podcast. And you can learn a whole lot about water. To make a long story short, we are not running out of water. We have to be careful. We have zero-scape landscaping now. We have low-flow toilets, showers, sinks, and everything else for using less water. I fight with the city quite a bit, but one thing the city of Tucson did right was water. The city of Tucson and surrounding areas, Oro Valley, Marana, Sarita, Vale, part of county, it's built up. We're using the same amount of water now we used 30 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, and that is such an important thing, because I think the state of Arizona is excellent in their water management. Doesn't mean we can relax, but to your point, 30 years ago, more, and we've got a lot more people now than we did 30 years ago. A lot.
And so we look at things. The water table in North Marin is going up. It was about 300 feet during 25, 30 years ago. It's about 150 now because of all the water coming through the Ida Road plant and recharging in the river. And most of that water is treated to drinking water quality and recharged into the aquifer. We're not running out of water. In fact, housing uses less water than farming. Cotton uses about 6 acre feet per year. Housing uses about 1.5 if you average 4 to the acre. You may end up with 8, but with streets and parks and everything, you average 4. You use about a third the water for housing as you do for farming. So I said we're an environmental community because we're building houses on farmland.
And there's no doubt there's a lot of growth both in industry, jobs, and residents, rooftops. What would you say right now? You're running for re-election. I already kind of joked about it. You are running unopposed, so you will be the mayor of Marana going forward. So in your next 4-year term, what are the big issues in Marana you see that need to be addressed?
Well, I think we're becoming a large enough community. I think we're about 64,000 now, roughly. The largest community in southern Arizona, other than the city of Tucson, obviously. And growing so rapidly. But I'm looking at the services we provide, whether it's infrastructure, that could be parks and roads, that could be open space, that could be so many different things, that could be water or wastewater. We built a wastewater plant a few years ago, and we're getting ready to double the size of that wastewater plant because we want to be able to provide services for people. I will tell you that 100% of that water is recharged in a basin right by our plant. And we're really thrilled about that. I've started getting involved in a lot of things. The Chamber of Commerce, I was always involved with. Food Bank, Little League a little bit. You know, the Marana 13 and 14-year-old girls won the Western Regional for National Little League, not state, National, and went to the playoffs. I am so proud. There's 12, 13 and 14-year-old girls. They're a little older now, but maybe they're 14 and 15. I was so proud of them. And when the kids went to the World Series, these girls, they didn't say Arizona on their shirt. It said Marana.
And there's no doubt, Mayor Honey, you are a true Marana advocate. I mean, today even, you are dressed in your orange Marana, Arizona polo. You've got matching orange sunglasses, and we will try to capture a picture before that's done. And that was the voice of Mayor Ed Honey. It pains me to hear that voice because I know I'm going to miss listening to it in the future. Always a great conversation. Didn't matter where we'd go, Matt. A lot of times we'd meet for a beer. I started learning the best way to keep our conversations flowing and keep us laughing is to go out somewhere where somebody in Marana would come up to him eventually and go, Mayor Ed, can I talk to you real quick?
Wow.
And he would stand up, and it didn't matter if we were at Casa Marana, if we were at the VFW, it didn't matter where we were. People liked to talk to their mayor, and you could hear his passion in there for Marana. Right. So it's going to be hard moving forward. He was a regional leader that I think people did not really understand.
Absolutely. Pima Association of Governments, including a stint as chair, as well as being involved in an RTA, including a stint as chair, working with MHC, you know, getting health care to people who need it.
He wasn't just passionate about Marana. He was passionate about Pima County, Southern Arizona.
He did a lot to help elevate this region.
The story Chris told on his show this morning about Sharon Bronson coming up and, you know, giving him a hard time and the mayor getting Chris in trouble for, you know, that kind of stuff. He had relationships. It was across party lines. He worked closely with Gabby Giffords on dealing with the floodplain issue in Marana. And once you've worked with Ed, he doesn't forget. So he supported Gabby Giffords the time she ran next time. Yes, he's a staunch conservative Republican,
but he's a people person, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And he always drove to make this region better.
Vince, Justine, it doesn't matter. If you worked with him, if you were an ally, you were an ally. Didn't matter what flavor of Republican you were or Democrat.
No, absolutely.
And I think he brought a lot of people up, right? Gilbert Davidson, I think he grew up in Wilcox. He comes out, develops as a great town manager in Marana. He's moved on to bigger and better things. And there's other people that have kind of gotten involved, civic engagement, right? And I think a lot of them point back to Ed as being a positive influence.
Ed Honey was a gentleman, a leader, and a friend. And there's no doubt he will be missed. But this conversation and his memory will live on in all of our conversations. So I encourage you to tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock to listen to Grant Kruger, who will have Matt Cable with Zio Pepe. There it is.
Yeah.
We got it right. So he's going on. I really enjoyed this hour, Matt.
Me too. And
Miss Mayor Mahoney, December 21st is when they're at 1 o'clock. It's going to be his memorial services.
And on future Tuesdays, if any other stories, anecdotes come back to you, please, you know.
Oh, absolutely. He won't be out of our minds. You've been listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And we have a great rest of the week.